at the right front front of man.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two authors. In this week's episode, we'll be discussing the Laura trial, which was presented last Sunday at the ASCO annual meeting.
Nationally, it also got a standing ovation during the plenary session. So osimertinib, after definitive chemoradiation in patients with unresectable stage 3 EGFR mutated non-small cell lung cancer. And what we are going to be talking about is the primary results of this phase 3 Laura study, which was presented by Dr. Ramalingam the past Sunday at ASCO 2024. And so before we jump into it, let's first discuss what stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer is and how do we stage it?
Definitely. I think it's important to put this into context of what are we talking about. So stage one, and these are very simplified kind of staging groups that Sam and I created. But for stage one, think of tumors under or equal to 4 centimeters with no lymph nodes that are positive. For stage two, think of tumors that are between 4 and 7 centimeters that have multiple nodules in the same lobe and are lymph node negative, or have ipsilateral, peribronchial, or hilar lymph nodes, which are N1. And these are those double digit stations. And you can refer to our full non-small cell lung cancer episode on more details. And then for stage three, those are tumors over 7 centimeters, or if you have multiple nodules in the same or ipsilateral lobe with lymph nodes that are positive, or N2, which are single digit stations, or N3, which are contralateral, mediastinal, or hilar lymph nodes.
Absolutely. So staging for non-small cell lung cancer is extremely detailed, but it's also heavily tested on our boards. I definitely remember we had at least 3 to 4 stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer questions on our boards day. So go through, review those, find a way for you guys to memorize the basic details of it. So when you go into test day, you know, first off, stage 1, 2, or 3, and is it resectable stage 3 or unresectable stage 3? Because they will test you on these heavily. And so what goes into staging for localized non-small cell lung cancer? What do we need to be getting?
So you're going to get PFTs. You're going to do a pathologic mediastinal lymph node evaluation. You are going to do a PET scan and a brain MRI. And one of the critiques of the Laura study was that not all patients needed a PET scan prior to enrollment, perhaps understaging a proportion of patients who were actually metastatic.
Absolutely. So the most important thing with these patients is rule out metastatic disease surgically and with scans. And so what are the basic treatments for each of these early stages, 1, 2, and 3?
So for those small lymph node negative tumors that are stage 1, think of surgery or SBRT. It's not standard for those smaller tumors to need adjuvant chemotherapy. For stage 2, those larger over 4 centimeters or those double digit lymph nodes, you can think of surgery followed by adjuvant chemotherapy. For stage 3A, ones that are still resectable, you can do chemotherapy or chemo RT followed by surgery. And then if you thought it was stage 1 or 2 and you do surgery first and it ends up getting upstaged to stage 3A, you follow that with chemo with or without radiation. And for the stage 3As that are non-surgical and the stage 3Bs, which is where this trial it fits in, you do chemo radiation followed by durvalumab based on the PACIFIC trial. And the PACIFIC trial was the previous standard of care from an article in New England Journal in 2017, where patients were randomized to chemo radiation, then placebo versus durvalumab. And durvalumab improved both PFS and OS for these patients.
Absolutely. And so the PACIFIC trial is still the right answer if you do not have a mutated non-small cell lung cancer. And so what are the chemo radiation regimens used in unresectable stage 3 for non-squamous adenocarcinomas?
So you have the option of carboplatin at an AUC of 5 or cisplatin with pemetrexed on day 1 of every 21-day cycle for up to 4 cycles with concurrent radiation. Or you can do weekly carboplatin at an AUC of 2 with paclitaxel, or you can do cisplatin etoposide.
Great. And so for the rest of this episode, we are going to be focusing solely on EGFR mutated non-small cell lung cancers. And so can you tell us about previous trials of EGFR targeting therapy in this population?
Yes. So we had the 2020 New England Journal ADORA trial, and I know there was an update at ASCO also, which showed improved disease-free survival with adjuvant osimertinib versus placebo in earlier stage, so stage 1B to 3A non-small cell lung cancer with EGFR mutations.
Great. And so for unresectable stage 3, it was durvalumab per the PACIFIC trial, but we know that patients with the EGFR mutations, they don't do well with immunotherapy. So now we have the LAURA trial, which we'll discuss. So can you first tell me about the design of this trial?
Yes. So the goal of the LAURA trial was to evaluate the efficacy and safety of osimertinib as maintenance therapy in patients with locally advanced unresectable EGFR mutated stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer without disease progression following definitive platinum-based chemoradiation. Patients had to have local or central confirmation of an EGFR exon 19 deletion or L858R mutation, and they had to receive at least 2 cycles of concurrent sequential platinum-based chemoradiation, and then they were randomized 2-to-1 to once daily osimertinib, 80 milligrams or placebo, until objective radiologic disease progression. And the one thing to note is that patients that receive osimertinib receive this in an indefinite fashion.
Absolutely. So again, these are the exon 19s and the exon 21s, which is L858R mutations. That was really what was included in this population. And so can you tell me more about the characteristics of these patients that were enrolled?
Yes. Yeah, so half had the exon 19 deletions, and then the rest had the L858R mutations. Most patients received concurrent chemoradiation rather than sequential chemoradiation, which would be in practice what we would normally do. And most patients had adenocarcinoma histology, so 92 to 95%. And then half of the group was stage 3B. There was about a third that were stage 3A and about 15% that were stage 3C.
Great. And so what was the result of the LAURA trial?
So osimertinib provided a clinically significant and statistically significant improvement in progression-free survival, or PFS. The difference was 39.1 months with osimertinib compared to 5.6 months for patients given placebo, with a hazard ratio of 0.16, which was statistically significant.
All right. And how about the overall survival?
So the percentage of patients who were alive and progression-free at 12 months was 74% with osimertinib and 22% with placebo. The interim overall survival data showed a 36-month overall survival amongst 84% of patients with osimertinib and 74% with placebo, with a hazard ratio for death of 0.81. This is not significant yet, but there was a high crossover rate of 80%, meaning that patients on the placebo arm were able to get osimertinib upon progression. Of course, we would have liked to have a crossover rate of 100%. So why did some patients not get osimertinib upon progression? And while we see a favorable trend towards osimertinib, we're not able to say that there's a superior overall survival at this point.
Agreed. And so obviously this is still immature, so we'll see what happens as this data matures through the years. And so with osimertinib, obviously these patients were subjected to indefinite therapy. And so what are the key toxicities that we need to be aware of with this drug?
So some of the key toxicities to remember are GI and skin. So some of the listed ones were diarrhea, paronychia, dry skin, pruritus, cough was common. The side effects in the osimertinib group were 35% that were grade 3 or higher and 12% of grade 3 or higher in the placebo group. And then radiation pneumonitis, mostly grade 1 to 2, was reported in 48% in the OC group and 38% in the placebo group.
Great. So I think the baseline toxicities we need to be thinking of is GI toxicity and skin toxicities. And so you and I actually had the chance to interview Dr. Ramalingam after the plenary session regarding some of the questions that came up. Can you talk about those?
Yes, definitely. So one of the things we talked about was the decision between picking placebo as a control arm. And so we know that we have the PACIFIC trial with adjuvant durvalumab. But one of the issues is that patients would not have been able to cross over to osimertinib if we had used that. And also we know that patients with EGFR mutations do not do well with adjuvant immunotherapy. And there's also a higher rate of radiation pneumonitis. The next thing that we talked about was, why would you subject patients to indefinite therapy? So we don't know if all patients need indefinite therapy, and we don't really have good biomarkers at this point to predict maybe why some patients could come off indefinite therapy because of the cumulative both financial and AE toxicity. Or perhaps we can look into treatment breaks. So hopefully in the future, there'll be more trials looking at patients maybe that don't need lifelong osimertinib. One of the points that was made was, And again, patients maybe weren't fully staged the way that we would with the PET scans, but these patients are very, very high risk for metastatic disease. And so we're preventing that progression for a lot of patients. And then finally, we know for other driver mutations in adenocarcinoma like ALK, ROS1, is there a role for extrapolating the LAURA trial results to other mutations? Of course, we don't have data at this point, but perhaps that might be something in the future. And I'm sure there are some trials looking into this.
Definitely. So I piggyback exactly what you said. So the picking placebo that was saving patients from toxicity of a drug that's most likely not effective, as well as preventing the lag time if they do progress to getting them on the proper drug at that time. And then the indefinite therapy, I think what we alluded to is that even though they're quote unquote stage three, they have a high propensity of maybe they truly are already microscopically stage four. So keeping enough pressure, maybe not curing the patients, but keeping pressure so their disease-free survival is as long as possible. And so this was a great overview, not only of non-small cell lung cancer early stage treatment and staging, but then also going over the LAURA trial. So what are our key takeaways?
So it is practice changing that now providers can offer osimertinib to these high-risk unresectable stage threes rather than durvalumab. There's an 84% reduction in the risk of progression or death. So that hazard ratio that we saw of 0.16, which is very meaningful to patients. It's also great that in this trial, they did allow crossover because otherwise some patients may have not made it to the next line of therapy. Although some trials maybe don't allow crossover because they want to see that overall survival benefit, it should be applauded that even though it wasn't 100%, that it was allowed in this trial.
Absolutely. And so thank you so much for going over this trial. Stay tuned, guys. We'll have more weekly episodes and we'll go over maybe a few more trials from the ASCO plenary session, as well as more updates from ASCO 2024. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. Good luck with studying for your boards. They are coming close in October, and feel free to reach out to us with any corrections or comments on our Instagram or our Twitter, 2OncDocs. Have a great week.